This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Settling in a new city can raise lots of questions. How does the bus service work? Can I join the local library? Where do I go to get advice on renting a home? Over the next half hour, the team from Citizens Advice Bureau bring you all the latest news and information of special interest to new migrants settling in Dunedin. Welcome to Resettling in Aotearoa with Citizens Advice Bureau.
Kia ora koutou, nau mai anō. Welcome to Citizens Advice Bureau Aotearoa Dunedin, monthly resettling in Aotearoa with CAB show. Ko Anna Aho, I'm the manager here at CAB in Dunedin. And just in case you're new to listening to our show, our CAB's core service is to help you know, understand and exercise your rights under the law here in New Zealand, and then the steps you might take to resolve your issues. The options you have to resolve your issues. We educate and empower people to have the confidence to take action themselves. Our help and advice and guidance is free. And importantly, we are independent of any government agency, and anything we talk about remains completely confidential. Tonight, we are going to talk about debt collection and repossession. So a little background first about what actually we've been seeing in regards to debt collection and repossession all around the country from our data that we collect at Citizens Advice Bureau and from the inquiries we're receiving. So over the whole country, CABs have seen a 50% increase in inquiries regarding debt collection and repossession and court attachment orders. Typically, when people are in debt, it is one of two things: that they should never have been loaned the money in the first place, and that the impact of a change in circumstances, like for example, unemployment, some other life event, such as a health issue, but other things like costs of living, rates, insurance increases, causes people to get into debt and they can't meet repayments. And these inquiries are seen across a range of situations, like with banks, with loan sharks, with electricity providers, car loan payments, etc., etc. Car loan payments are actually a big one. It does depend on the type of debt you owe, but there are fundamental responsibilities under the Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, which I will now refer to as the CCFA. So that stands for Credit Contracts and Consumer Finance Act, CCFA. But there is responsibilities under that to make, you know, for example, formal payment plan for you or allow you to have an interest-free period or a payment holiday. But we're going to talk about that later. Power companies have their own regulations, so this actually makes it confusing, as some creditors are covered by the CCFA and others are not. Makes things really unclear. There's not so much regulation around debt collection and what the responsibilities are on debt collection. Debt may get passed to debt collection or be sold to a debt collection agency. Again, this depends on who you owe money to. However, if it is unsold, they also have to act in a fair manner. The problem is New Zealand law is vague on harassment and coercion regarding debt collection. So again, that's a bit unclear. So if you keep not paying debt and don't answer the phone or engage at all, you will receive an attachment order. And this is a district court order for an employer or MSD to take money out of your wages or benefit. Approximately 80% of attachment orders in New Zealand are for people on benefits, which is appalling. If people receive this correspondence about an attachment order, which the courts actually have to decide on, it is really not a good idea to freak out and ignore it. It's interesting to note, actually, that in Australia, attachment orders cannot be made if people are on benefits, and that's not the case here in New Zealand. So you can show up to court and explain your circumstances, but if you don't, the court has no idea about your circumstances and they make a ruling without your input. So if you don't show up, a default order will be made because the debtor didn't show up. And that means there'll be no investigation into whether the loan should have been given to you in the first place. And CAB would argue that it is questionable whether the loan should have been given in the first place. They'll also argue that attachment orders would be better dealt with in the disputes tribunal rather than the district court. So, firstly, what responsibility do lenders have to help ensure people do not get into debt that they cannot repay? So, under the CCFA, the lender or the consumer credit provider, the lender, must take steps to ensure that a borrower does not commit themselves to a new loan or top up an existing loan that would cause the borrower to borrow a financial hardship. A lender must comply with the lender responsibility principles. They state that the lender's obligations when advertising credit or finance, before and after providing consumer credit or finance, and when taking a guarantee. So the lender responsibility principles include the obligations to make reasonable inquiries about the borrower's needs and financial situation so they do not take on a loan that they cannot repay without it causing financial hardship. Another obligation is that to help the borrower to make an informed decision about whether to borrow. What kind of consumer product, for example, cash loan, credit purchase, is most suitable for their needs and situation, including using plain language to state the product's terms and conditions. The lender responsibility principles also include the obligation to act reasonably and ethically. For example, when there is a problem with the loan, when the borrower suffers an unforeseen hardship or during repossession, and also to make sure loans are not oppressive. A lender must keep records of their borrower assessments. A borrower can make a request to the lender to provide records of how the lender assessed the borrower for suitability to take out a loan. And it's the lender's responsibility to keep records and provide the borrower with the information within 20 working days of the date of the request. More responsibilities for the lenders came into effect on 2 years ago now, 3 years ago now, on the 1st of December 2021. So the changes to the CCCFA increase protection for borrowers so that they do not commit to consumer loans that are unsuitable or unaffordable. Another aside sort of here, there are limits to how much you can be charged if you borrow money, but it will only affect you if you have a high cost loan. So a high cost loan is any consumer credit contract where an annual interest rate is more than 50%. The CCCFA specifies a limit to the amount of interest and fees that a lender can charge you for a high cost loan. You must not end up paying more than 100% of the amount you borrowed. And for anything started after May 2020, the amount of fees and interest cannot be so high that you would end up paying back more than twice the amount you borrowed. They cannot charge you compound interest. There are also rules around charging you interest in advance, which you can find on our website, www.cab, in the article, "Is there a limit to how much I can be charged if I borrow money?" If you have been paying more than you should, you're entitled to ask the lender for a refund. If there is an interest-free period, find out what the interest charges are when the period ends. If the interest rate is high and you cannot repay the loan within the interest-free period, you could end up paying a lot of interest over the rest of the consumer credit contract. So now, debt collection. So if you don't keep up repayments for loans, fines, or other debts, it can be passed on to a debt collector. It's important that you do not ignore a debt collection notice, even if you have already paid the debt they are trying to collect. You can dispute a debt collection notice. It's best to do this in writing, either by email or letter, and use the word complaint in the subject line so the lender treats it seriously. As part of your complaint, email or letter, you should include a copy of any supporting evidence, state that you dispute the debt, ask for them to respond within 7 days to fix the error and to put on hold any debt collection action. Keep a record of any phone calls you have with them, but best to put it in writing. And ask for any correspondence to be in writing too from them. Debt collection must stop while a debt is under dispute. So, yeah, they can't, the lender, you know, once you make a written complaint, the lender or debt collector must stop the repossession process until your complaint is resolved. If they continue pursuing debt, you can make a complaint to the debt collector or the creditor's financial disputes resolution scheme. So all financial service providers need to be registered on the Financial Services Providers Register, which is maintained by the company's office. If you search this register, you can find out which scheme your provider belongs to. So, if you go to www.companiesoffice.govt.nz and then go to All Registers, you can click on the financial service providers registered, then click on the button. The button is financial service providers register. Yep. So, and have a look there, and it'll tell you what complaint process they use, or what disputes resolution scheme they are part of. It is an offence if a repossession agent repossesses consumer goods when you are not in default. If convicted, individuals are liable for fines of up to $200,000 and companies of up to $600,000. You can also dispute the collection fees if you think they are unreasonable. We have an article on our website if you want to read more about this. What fees could I have to pay if my debt collection agency takes over my debt? It's on www.cab.org.nz. So if challenging the debt collection notice does not work, you can apply to the disputes tribunal or the district court. The disputes tribunal can help if the amount being pursued is up to $30,000, and the district court can help if the amount is more than $30,000. Again, our website has many articles about the disputes tribunal, including how do I make a claim at the disputes tribunal. Time limits for recovering debts through the courts. Usually a lender has only 6 years to recover a debt. This is called the limitation period. This is the time limit starts as soon as the debt is owed, unless you acknowledge the debt or pay part of it, in which case the time limit starts from the date you acknowledge the debt or the date of the last payment. If the lender did not know about the debt until after the limitation period had ended, they then have 3 years from the day they discovered the debt. They can only claim this if it is within 15 years of the debt first being owed. Repossession is taking back a product or item to cover overdue debt. So repossession agents can only repossess your things if your consumer credit contract says they can, if they've sent you a repossession warning notice and given you 15 days to pay your debt and you have not paid the debt within 15 days, if there are no complaints or hardship applications still in process, and if it is less than 60 days since the repossession warning notice was issued. They can only repossess items that are listed as security in your credit contract or that you bought using their finance, e.g. PlayStation 5. They can't just say household items. It has to be specific. So what can be repossessed? Well, essential consumer items cannot be repossessed. There's a couple of examples where that's not true, but I'm not going to go into that. You can ring us or have a look at that on our website if you want to know more about it. But really, if the item's listed as a security in the contract as a security item, but generally items considered essential consumer item that cannot be repossessed are beds and bedding, stoves, medical equipment, heaters, washing machines and fridges. And lenders, as I said, they cannot make everything you will ever own security for a credit contract. Unless you entered into your consumer credit contract before 6th of June 2015, the lender is restricted on what kinds of goods they can take as security. You must be sent a repossession warning notice. When a creditor intends to repossess your goods, they must send you a repossession warning notice. This notice should tell you how much you owe and give you 15 days to pay off the debt. If you do not pay the debt within 15 days, they can repossess any goods that are listed as security on your credit contract. They have 60 days to act on the repossession warning notice. If you dispute your warning notice or make an application for hardship, the time is paused while your application is considered. Instead of waiting for a repossession, you can actually voluntarily surrender the goods. So if you don't have the money to pay the debt, you can deliver those goods directly to the creditor. If you voluntarily surrender the goods, they must treat the goods as if they have been repossessed. If they believe you're going to sell or damage the goods, however, they do not have to give you any notice. But you can challenge this if you do not think they followed the correct procedure or had reasonable grounds for taking this action. So what are the rules when they are repossessing your thing? So a repossession agent can enter residential premises any time between 6 a.m. and 9 p.m. Monday to Saturday, excluding public holidays, unless you consent in writing. The agent must have the required documentation, which is a copy of the repossession warning notice, a copy of the contract, a copy of the creditor's license or certificate, evidence of their authority, a statement that the premises have been entered the data entry and a list of the goods to be taken, a statement about your rights following the repossession and to make a complaint about the conduct, about how to make a complaint about the conduct, a copy of the consent you gave if entry is outside the permitted times. So if you are not present and the contract allows the creditor the right of entry, they can break into your house. They must cause the least amount of damage and not leave your house obviously open. They must also leave the same documents as if you were there, as well as a notice to say they've entered the premises, the date of entry, and a list of the goods they've taken. If the creditor does not leave these documents or leaves any of them out, you might not have to pay any additional fees associated with the repossession itself. You can make a complaint to your credit provider about their repossession agent. So if they've not followed the correct process, you know, you can complain to your credit provider about them, because they are, in effect, working for them. You can claim compensation from the credit provider if the repossession agent damaged your home while repossessing your goods, or if they took items that were not listed on your credit contract as security items. If you're unhappy with the credit provider's response to your complaint, you can use the financial services complaints process, as mentioned earlier, that you can find through the company's office website. You could also complain to the Commerce Commission if a repossession agent or credit provider does not follow the rules of repossession. So they can't act on your behalf, but they can take action against a credit provider or repossession agent who is not following the triple CFA. After your goods have been repossessed, the creditor must provide you with specific information about the repossession and its consequences. They must give you a post-possession notice no more than 14 days after the goods have been repossessed in writing. It might include things that you have 15 days to reinstate or settle the agreement by paying what you owe, or a list of goods the repossessed and the creditor's estimate of the current value of the goods. And usually, remember, this is not the same as what you originally paid for them. You know, they should include information about your continuing liability if the goods sell for less than your debt, or your right to a refund if they sell for more. And you also have the right to introduce a cash buyer who will pay at least the item's estimated value. If you do nothing after receiving the post-possession notice, the creditor must offer the goods for sale as soon as reasonably practical. If the goods have not sold within 30 working days from the date of repossession, you can write to the creditor requiring them to sell by public auction. No reserve price is set for these auctions, and you have the right to bid for the goods. So what you need to remember here is that people think because the item has been repossessed that that's the end of it, that things have been sold and the debt is cleared and covered and it's, you know, you've cleared the full debt. But items may not have been sold for the full cost of the debt, so remember that. The simplest and best advice is to communicate as quickly as possible with your lender if you're having problems. There is a hardship provision in relation to credit contracts, and it allows you to ask for a change in your consumer credit contract arrangements if you're experiencing unforeseen financial hardship. You can make a hardship application if you have suffered a hardship such as losing your job, becoming ill or injured, or a relationship ending. You cannot reasonably make your debt repayments because of the hardship. And you cannot reasonably make your debt repayments because of that hardship. It allows you to ask for changes to your contract, so it's easier for you to keep up your repayments. Lenders are legally required to consider hardship applications. If you make a hardship application to your lender, you might come to an arrangement where you extend the term of a contract to reduce the repayments, take a repayment holiday, or both of the above. The repayment holiday is when you and your lender agree that you can stop making repayments for a period. But it's important to realise that if you and your lender agree to a repayment holiday or a term extension and smaller repayments, you will probably end up paying more in the long term for the loan because interest will accrue normally in the meantime. If you need to make a hardship application, do so as soon as you can. You need to make your hardship application before you have missed too many payments. You will not be eligible for a hardship application if you have been in default for more than 2 months, you have missed four or more consecutive payments, or you have been in default more than 2 weeks after receiving a repossession warning. You need to apply for the hardship provision in writing. Do this as soon as you realise you will not be able to pay, because arranging for hardship provisions can take time, In your letter, you need to say what the reason or reasons are for your unforeseen hardship, what changes you want to make to your consumer credit contract, like extending the term, reducing the repayment amount, taking a holiday, or both. Include the documentation to support your application, for example, a redundancy notice that you've lost your job, doctor's certificate to say that you can't work because of illness or injury. Your lender must tell you they've received the letter within 5 working days of receiving it, and they must let you know within 10 working days if they need further information from you. And they must notify you of their decision whether or not to accept your request within 20 working days. While your lender is considering your hardship application, they must not actively pursue the debt. They also must not repossess any consumer goods from you while they're considering your hardship application, unless they believe the goods are at risk, e.g. like you're going to sell them or destroy them or dispose of them. The lender cannot charge you a fee for considering your hardship application, but they can charge you a fee for varying the consumer credit contract if it is set out in the contract and they've told you about the fee. If your lender asks you for further information, they must decide whether to agree to the changes you asked for within 20 working days after their request for further information, or 10 working days after receiving the additional information from you. If your hardship application is successful, your lender must give you specific information about the change to your consumer credit contract, and they must do this before any changes to the contract take effect. Your lender should only decline your hardship application if they have genuine reasons for doing so. They decline your application, they must tell you why in writing. They also have to give you a summary of your rights to apply to the courts. If you think your lender has unfairly declined your hardship application, you can make a complaint to the disputes resolution scheme that they belong to, as mentioned twice above, via the company's, or earlier, via the company's office website. Apply to the district court, or so you can make an complaint and then apply to the district or disputes tribunal to have the terms of the contract changed. Both of those have been mentioned earlier. Again, I must stress you need to get help early. CAB can guide you with any of this, as can financial mentoring services, some free services in Dunedin who have financial mentors or budget advisors, are Presbyterian Support Skills Bank Service, the Christians Against Poverty, Community Law Otago, and Catholic Social Services. Also Dunedin Budget Advisory, but they're just in the process of re-establishing at the moment, possibly. Remember, we have a number of articles on our website relating to the information we have shared with you tonight, such as what is the hardship provision in relation to credit contracts, I'm having trouble paying off my debt, can I make a hardship application, I have received a debt collection notice telling me my payment is overdue, how do I dispute this? Another article on our website, what fees could I have to pay if a debt collection agency takes over my debt? Another one is, how can I stop my things from being repossessed? And finally, another one is, what is the repossession process if I don't pay my debts? So, yeah, we have a lot of articles about everything we've just discussed above. Good idea to go and read them in your own time, because it's a bit complicated and technical. But, yeah, and there'll be more information that we haven't covered. Yeah, so go have a really good look. You can contact CAB or Te Pōti Dunedin to ask about any of those things, or anything else you need help with or want to know your rights about. You can call us direct in Dunedin on 03471 6166, or we do have a nationwide free phone, 0800 367 222. But that, just be aware that that may be answered nationwide. However, if you get another CAB around the country, you can always give them your name and number. They can contact us and ask us to call you. Email CAB with an inquiry via our website, actually. We have an online inquiry form. Just go to our website, www.cab.org.nz, and then along the yellow ribbon on the drop-down, you'll find a CAB, and then contact us. You can call in at 155 Princes Street. Just remember, the shifts start at 10:15 or 1:15. That's a good idea to come in at the start of those shifts, so we have plenty of time to help you. Or you can also ring us first just to check how we're placed any shift, because we might be really busy and have lots of people in here already. Our cab hours are Monday to Thursday. We open at 10 and we close at 4. Again, come in with plenty of time for us to help you. Friday, we open at 10 and close at 1. Ngā mihi, kia koutou for tuning in this evening, and Otago Access Radio for hosting us. Kia pai te pō. Have a good evening.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.